word of prayer. I'd like to invite the elders to come forward as well as we pray. We've started a journey last night, a journey that I believe God will bring about amazing things during this season of evangelism. Granted, we're always in evangelistic mode, but just a little bit more particular at this time. And I believe that when God's people pray, God does amazing things. I'd like to invite you to come forward if the elders can surround you all as we kneel. Loving Father, we thank you because you call us unto you. And as you do so, we heed your call, and then you do amazing things in our lives. And I know you've done that in David and Abby and in Ernie and Laura's lives, and now they're here to testify of your greatness, of your power, of your love, and of your truth. And I thank you because they arrived safely this past week. But this journey includes much greater things that you would have them to do. And we ask your blessing upon them as a church body. May you grant them power from on high. May you grant them strength, as even this very day, there is much to do for your cause and glory. I ask as a church family, we may daily uplift them in prayer. And I ask that you will use them to do the job that you've called them to do in the lives of not just our guests, but also our church family. But I also ask that we may see them as co-laborers and co-evangelists together with us, and that we may work together for your glory. So we set them aside for your purposes here in Roseburg. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray one last time. Father, as we get into your word, may your spirit speak to our minds and our hearts. May your word be clear, and may you continue the work that you started in our lives long ago. In Jesus' name, amen. Insignificant significance. Almost seems like a tongue twister, but it's not. There's a method to the madness. The Bible says, I was what? Glad when they said to who? Unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can you remember the first time you went to church? Some of us are able to remember that first time. Some of us are not. For some of us, maybe we came with our parents because they brought us and they introduced us to Jesus. But that's not everybody's story. It could be that you can remember the first time you stepped foot into a Seventh-day Adventist church. Maybe even this church. I can remember Rose the first time you were here. And even who was sitting nearby you. That was our sweet Arlene. And how God uses different people to say, this is the way. How you felt in this church for the very first time. What a privilege. What sweet memories. For me, it was my father and mom teach me about Jesus. It's interesting, that picture was taken here some years back. And every worship, either Friday night or sundown, my dad would break out the big accordion. And the whole neighborhood knew that what we were doing, because you could hear us a mile away, because those things are not quiet. My journey has many chapters in it, but my testimony is not what I'm interested in sharing today. Actually, I'm more interested in hearing their testimonies. The testimonies of those who are looking for God. The testimonies of those who are looking for truth. The testimonies of those who are looking for healing. Of those who are looking for purpose and looking for hope. How do we bring someone to not only church but to Jesus? Well, when we lead someone to Jesus, we'll also lead them to the church. Why? Because the church is the family of Jesus. And so when we lead someone to Jesus, we also lead them to the church. But the strange thing is that God uses insignificant things. Insignificant things, you ask? Well, what kind of things are insignificant? Or maybe even insignificant in the minds of some people. I mean, who would use a foul-mouthed, impulsive, proud, and selfish, immature fisherman like Peter? I'd maybe have second thought. Andrew wasn't too far behind. And you have James and John, Boanerges, sons of thunder. That wasn't too much better. They almost had a whole bunch of people burned because they weren't too crazy about what was going on. Insignificant people in the eyes of man, but yet very significant to God. And here's the good news, church family. God wants to use you to save the lost. I'm not talking about the person next to you. God wants to use you to save the lost. But as I say that, I have a hunch there were some excuses that crossed your mind. It's amazing the excuses that we give to God. I'm too young, Pastor. Or we go to the other extreme. I'm too old. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't do this. I can't do that. When God wants to use you and I right here, right now. You remember this story? They must have been serving that at the fellowship meal. Oh, I know. This must have come from a very seasoned fisherman and an amazing baker, possibly. They may have had a role in it, but I'll tell you who gave these to Jesus. A boy. That's who gave these to Jesus. A boy wanted to help Jesus. Do we have any little boys who'd like to help Jesus today? Do we have any little girls that would like to help Jesus today? Amen. Praise the Lord. The little ones want to lead others to Jesus. I remember when Melanie and Julian were with us. I mean, you'd put glow tracks in their hands, and they would make sure that everyone they came in contact with had a glow track. But you see, we get a little older, we get a little bit more timid. We get a little bit more politically correct. What will they think? Kids don't care. Here you go. You forgot something. Come back. Now. These little kids, as we're reminded by our children's story, are not insignificant. They're very significant. Or maybe, I mean, where was John the Revelator when he saw this vision of Jesus? Oh, that's right. He was not at his timeshare. He was exiled on the island of Patmos. a convicted criminal in the eyes of some. And John, by this time, is aged and tired, and he's ready to hang him up. There's nothing left for this old prisoner to do. And then all of a sudden, he sees Jesus on the Sabbath day in vision. And Jesus reminds him that he still had something for him to do, even in his old age. What significance could this old man have been? Well, we wouldn't have had the book of Revelation if it were not for John who received it. Maybe you're sensing that your days remaining may not be that many. Or maybe there's not anything left to do that God has for you in the saving of the lost. And if that is the case, we're mistaken. Maybe we heard the lie telling us, maybe you're insignificant. I reckon you are very significant. But my question is, who'd like to do something for Jesus? Who'd like to do something for Jesus? Anybody who'd like to do something for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Almost all of us would like to do something for Jesus, but the question remains, well, what can I do for Jesus? I want to do something for Jesus. What can I do for Jesus? Well, the answer is, I'm so glad you asked. It's serving him and serving others. And let me be more specific. We can help Jesus by inviting people to our evangelistic. And you might be thinking, that's a bit specific, Pastor. Isn't there other ways that we can help other people? There definitely are. And I'm not saying that we cannot do that, nor shouldn't do that. But our church has set aside this season of evangelism to reach the lost in this specific way. As you can see, we've already prayed for our evangelistic team. And as I mentioned last week or the week before, I can't forget, it's a youthful moment, not a senior moment. Who are the evangelists? That's right. We are the evangelists. Therefore, it's our time to bring God's children to the house of God. And I got some good news. God is doing great things. God is doing amazing things. I mean, last night, we had visitors here at 5 p.m. They wanted to make sure nobody took their seats. 5 p.m., that's 2 hours early. They wanted to make sure nobody took their seats. And the truth is that God is calling his children, and we've had an offensive game plan. What have we done? We've prayer walked our neighborhood. Amen? What have we done? We have also prayer walked our church vicinity around here, but we've also prayer walked inside of our very church. We did that last Sabbath. We even prayed for people who had no connection to the Adventist church that expressed interest on Facebook. At least 6,000 people saw our Facebook ad. I asked last night our visitors who came, how did you hear about the meetings? Some of them, we saw the ad in the paper. Some of them, I've seen you on TV. And they have been seeing the invitation. Praise God. But I told you, God is doing great things. Amen. As I was anticipating the meetings, I thought to myself, I should get a haircut. Because I didn't need a haircut just yet. And I needed to go see the person who did my hair because if I waited a couple weeks when it was the time to do so, what would happen with the invitation? It's too late. You see, the time to act is now. And so I made the appointment. I always let them know I'm praying for them. And so I went Monday. And as I'm anticipating talking with them, I'm praying, God, how do I get this in their hand. How do I bring up what's going on in our church? And so I sit down in the chair, and they said, I saw the big sign at your church. What's going on? And I said, oh, well, let me tell you. David and Abby arrive, and David says, Pastor, you know anywhere I can get my hair cut? I said, I sure do. And so I contacted to make an appointment, and they responded, did I miss something? Did I not do a good job? I said, no. You need to cut the hair of the seminar presenter. And so they got to meet David. And there's much I can share about that. But guess who's making plans to come this evening? That's right. As I was getting my hair cut, they were telling me, I've been doing my research. And my very, very close friend and I, we've been sensing that God is calling us back. And the closest thing that my friend and I can try to gather of where's a Bible-believing, truth-filled body of Christians is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And some years back, I had another friend whose parents went to, I think, the Glide Church, and they had us over for some food, and that sister made the best vegetarian chili I have ever had. Who thought that chili would reach the heart of a soul? They remembered the chili. I told them there's going to be a whole bunch of good food like that chili Saturday at 6:15. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As to who? The Lord. And not unto man. I mean, I don't know who that Adventist out in Glide is, but I want to tell them thank you for how you made that chili. But it's not just about the chili. How are we doing the things that we're doing? Are we doing it? Oh, we got these meetings going. Are we doing it as unto the Lord? Are we going, here you go. Are we saying, I have something amazing for you. Come join me. I'm going to be there. One of our neighbors is owner of one of the hotels here in town. How many of us have been praying for our neighbors? Praise God. God is answering. And last month, as we had the storm, one of his trees fell over onto our side, and he was getting it cut down and what have you, and he tells me, oh, by the way, we're moving to Texas next month. Since this was March, the discussion that happened of me finding out that they were moving, I was like, man, they're not going to be here to at least get an invitation. I'm not going to get a chance to tell them about what's going to happen before Jesus comes back. And so this past week, I made sure I got some of our Australia souvenirs that we got when we were just down there a few weeks ago. I gave him the souvenirs, and there was a moving truck on just a couple houses down. And I said, is that you guys? They said, no, that's the neighbor. We were going to be moving because we were going to buy another hotel in Texas, and those plans fell through. So we're going to be here for a couple more months. Inside, I was doing backflips. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I gave him the invitation, and you know what he said to me? He said, can I bring some? Go figure. The fish is asking me if they can bring someone. Oh, by the way, he's a Hindu Sikh. He said, I have my operations manager would really enjoy this, so him and I, we'll make plans to come. God's at work in Roseburg Church family. Let me tell you some more what God is doing. Well, the storm hit late February, and this was the view from our stranded van trying to go up the road and getting nowhere quick. And we're praying that God would send someone to get us up the road, turn the corner to our house. Everybody in the van is praying, and lo and behold, you can see that there's a pickup truck that arrives. The owner of the truck sticks out their head and says, you need a lift? I sure do need a lift. They cook us up. They haul us all the way up in front of our driveway. And they could have left it there. But they reached out to us afterwards and said, do you need anything? We said, yes, we need some baby formula because we just ran out. And we were going nowhere quick in that storm. And this past week, I had to make another visit. A little bit more souvenirs and an invitation. And as they greeted me, they were saying, what do you do for a living? And that was quite the question, because I would say their world is probably the furthest possible to my world. And I wasn't sure if they were ready to hear that they're talking to a minister. They show me all where they work is on their house property. And so they showed me their business. They showed me the backyard. They showed me everything. And then after I gave them the souvenirs, I gave them the invitation. And then later that day, they texted me. They said, thank you so much for being beautiful people. And I said, God bless you. We're praying for you. And who knows? Maybe they come. Maybe they don't. But at the least, they got the invitation. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yesterday, I got a text from my best friend. On March 2nd, he had texted me telling me that his wife needs a kidney transplant, that she is very, very sick, and that she was encouraged to put her name on the waiting list that is 10 years in waiting. She was encouraged to put her name on that list because it's not going to be anything forthcoming anytime soon. So hopefully she's around when it's her turn. So he had asked my wife and I to pray. And yesterday he sends a text saying, praise God, because it looks like I'm going to be able to be a donor for my wife. He said, thank you for praying for my wife and her kidneys. Thank you for praying, because at that same request, he said, I'm up for a possible promotion. Can you pray for that? Guess what he told me yesterday? He got the promotion. And so what he reiterated was, his plea was this: don't stop praying. I know God is answering, Tony. Your prayers are working. Don't stop praying. Guess who got invited to watch a live stream last night? My best friend, even though he's 3,000 miles away in New York. 39 people, 39 viewers watched the last night. Who knows how many were in that group? Don't stop praying. You know, there was someone else who was praying as they were getting stoned. How did all this start? How did Stephen get into the predicament of people throwing stones at him, not for the sake of dodgeball, but for the sake of killing him? Oh, that's right. The Bible tells us that church leadership met to take care of the widows who were needing to be ministered to. They were not receiving the meals. Maybe it was Meals on Wheels, I don't know. But the church meets together, and they selected seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. These seven men are ordained, and the church is blessed. Why was the church blessed? Because these seven chose to do what the church asked them to do at the time that it was needed. And that's a big issue, because they could have said, I mean, food to the widows? Isn't there something more important to do? Insignificant? No. Very significant. It was in this responsibility that Stephen grew in his faith. Stephen went from being a man of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit to then later in that same chapter, the Bible says that now Stephen is full of faith and full of power. When was the time for that boy to give up his Happy Meal? Now, at that moment. When was the time for Simon the Cyrene to carry Jesus' cross on the way to Calvary? Now, in that moment. And guess what? In that moment for Stephen, it was a time to help these widows, in which then God used him to tell others about Jesus. Not just some people, but the people who had just killed Jesus. And he tells them about Jesus, and he's preaching with power, because that was the time in which these Jewish leaders needed to hear it. You see, later for Stephen to share this message was no good. It would have been too late. In a diabolical rage, they let these words of life fall to the ground, and these Jewish leaders pick up stones, and they start stoning Stephen, and Stephen starts to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commend my spirit. But I got another question for you. Talk about this verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Who invited Saul of Tarsus to church? Stephen did. How did God use Stephen to invite Saul to church? By doing the insignificant things significantly. You know, some people think that Saul, who later became Paul, took Judas's place. No, that was Matthias who took Judas's place. And then after that, Pentecost occurred. Paul did not take Judas's place. Paul took Stephen's place. How do I know so? Spirit of prophecy tells us. A mightier than Satan had chosen Saul to take the place of martyred Stephen, to preach and suffer for his name, and to spread far and wide the tidings of salvation through his blood. Stephen's prayer and willing service is what invited Paul to church. You see, Paul didn't come to church in Stephen's time. But the time to give Paul the invitation was in Stephen's time. Do you get that? some of our invitations for others to come to the house of the Lord is going to be heeded right then and there. But other invitations are going to come in due time, in their time. Just as God led you to Christ in your time, so God is doing the same in their time. It's not about whether it's their time. It's about doing our job, his job that he's given us in this time, now. I'd like to invite Laura to come forward to share a song of appeal about what time it is and what God would have us to do right now.
Brothers, let us come together, walking in the Spirit. There's much to be done. We will come reaching out from our comforts, and they will know us by our love. Sisters, we were made for kindness. We can pierce the darkness as he shines through us. We will come reaching with a song of healing, and they will know us by our love. The time is now. Come, church, arise. Stand firm in the truth now. Set your hearts above. You will be reaching long after we've gone, and they will know you by your love. The time is now. Come, church, arise. His eyes.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This morning I sent a text to my barber, and the text read this: today's your day. Why? Because they've been thinking about this for a long time. And then I said, and I wasn't thinking about this, it just came out, you'll be so glad you came. Who's going to say these words? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I believe God is putting a soul on your heart. I believe God is making us uncomfortable to think that we could spend eternity without our loved ones with us in heaven. I don't want that. You have been provided at the edges of your pews some invitations. My wife and I, we moved here 3 years ago next month. We're the new kids on the block. But you all have been here probably a little longer. You know much, much more people than my wife and I will ever know here. And I believe God is calling us to give this invitation today. We do have a meeting at 5 p.m., a wonderful meal at 6:15, and then at 7. Make plans. This past week I was at Sherb's. And I took two of these in my jacket, put them inside. I was praying that God would open doors to share this invitation to one of my neighbors. Guess who I saw at Sherm's? That neighbor gave them an invitation. But then as I was bagging a whole bunch of baby formula, the lady across from me who was bagging as well noticed all that baby formula. Said, oh, they're going to grow so quick before you know it, all the 9 yards. And very pleasant to me. And I was in a bind because my second invite I gave to the cashier, I had no more invitations. I go to my car to put the formula in the trunk, and I keep my eye open for that lady. And I see her walking. She, I guess, got misguided where she had misparked. And so then I get in my car, and I feel really odd about this. And I was like, I need to give her this invitation. I almost felt like a stalker. And so I go by, and I say, ma'am, I have a gift for you. You're invited. Have a nice day. And she was so glad to receive. Maybe she could have been insignificant. But she's very significant to Jesus. May we think about who's significant to Jesus and who's significant to you. And may we come together to this place at 5 p.m. as we continue getting ready for heaven. Our closing hymn, I understand, is So Send I You. You are the you, and I am the you, and together we are the you, and God sends us today. Let us stand and sing together.
Please turn to hymn number 578, but before we start singing, let us remember what 2 Corinthians says. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen. All four verses.
Thank you, Father, because you considered us significant. Thank you because you want to use us to also reach others who are also very significant. So, Father, send your Spirit. May we love you in our service to you and our service to those around us. And may a soul be brought to you this very day, tonight. Bless us, and may we ever view others the way you view us. In Jesus' name, amen.